want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, Come On, We Pray, This Is a Blessing to Your Life.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 32. It says, Jesus immediately had the disciples get into a boat and cross to the other side ahead of him while he sent the crowds away. And after dismissing the crowds, he went up a hillside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. And by this time, the boat was in the middle of the sea and was being battered by the waves because the wind was against them. Right? You've heard this story. Anybody ever in your life had the winds against you? Absolutely. We know what that's like. Maybe it wasn't in a boat, but we know what it's like to have the winds against us, to have, you know, just resistance coming against us. Shortly before dawn, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and cried out, "It's a ghost." And they screamed in terror. "Have courage," Jesus immediately told them. "It's me. Stop being afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." Everybody say, "Come on." So Peter got down out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he was frightened. And as he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, save me." At once, Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and asked him, "Do you have so little faith? Why did you doubt?" And as they got into the boat, the wind stopped blowing. Now, there's a lot of ways you can go with this portion of Scripture, and you can preach a lot of different things out of it. But I want to focus on this thing, that phrase, "Come on." See, it really is just another way of saying, you can do it. It's your turn. It's really another way of saying, it's time to start. It's time to jump. It's time to go. It's time to quit making excuses. It's time to break free from your fears. And it's time to live in faith. So when we say, "Come on," tonight, that's what we're saying. Now go ahead and turn to somebody and say, "Come on." But every once in a while, you'll run into someone who heard Jesus say, "Come on," and they went over the edge of the predictable safe zone, and they're following Jesus in the faith zone. And that's where he wants us to be. I've said it so many times, but God never intended for us, his people, to live in the natural, but to live in the supernatural, and to believe for the supernatural. And when I say supernatural, I'm not talking about just some weird stuff out there. What I'm talking about is the realm of God's glory, okay? And so there's a lot of people that talk about being spiritual, but not all things that are spiritual are necessarily godly or the glory of God. And so once in a while, you'll find somebody that's willing to do that. And, you know, they're following Jesus in the faith zone. They're no longer stuck where they used to be. And man, I love to see that happen. I love it when people come to me and say, "You know, Pastor, man, I was in the store and, you know, something came over me and I just believed that God wanted me to lay hands on this person or pray for this person. And you know what happened?" Yeah, I know what happened. Yeah, somebody got touched by God, right? Because he's always looking for somebody that's willing to step out in his truth. Now, it's got to be in his truth, in agreement with his word, because if it's not, it means nothing. Right? It has no power. But I love to see people following Jesus in the faith zone. And so many times people will sit back in their safe place and they'll talk about everything that they would do for God if he ever called them. Well, my question is this. How did you miss the calling? Because he's been calling you since the first day he met you. And let me ask you this. What do you do when Jesus says, "Come on"? Now, you got to understand, in this particular place, he's asking Peter to come on and do the absolute impossible, to do what no man could possibly do and to do what no man has ever seen done. And so we may never literally get out of a boat and walk on top of water like Peter did. That may never happen. We may never, during the course of our lifetimes, be in a situation or a circumstance like Peter was in that moment, where he literally, physically got out of a literal boat in the middle of a life-threatening storm and physically, in the presence of eyewitnesses, walked on top of the water. Now, that really happened, but we may never be in that kind of situation. But I guarantee you, we'll be in situations where if there's not a supernatural move of God, we're done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So right there, when I say, you know, we may never be in that situation, I can almost hear a sigh of relief. You know, well, thank God, because I don't want to be in that situation. Because as exciting as it is and encouraging as it is to read about Peter walking on top of the water, we don't necessarily want to be put in a situation where we have to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I like what Pastor Mike Davis said when he was here the other day. He said, well, you know, we all want a miracle. We just never want to be in that place where we need that miracle. And so Peter putting that which was over his head under his feet is a picture of what God expects from his children. And the truth is, most Christians, they have no desire to walk on the water. And again, we're talking about spiritually speaking here in the sense of walking in the supernatural when there's a perfectly good boat anywhere nearby. And while others may never physically leave the safety of a perfectly good boat and leap out onto a raging sea, there will be times in our lives as we follow Christ that we will be challenged to duplicate that same kind of faith. And that's the kind of faith that Peter demonstrated when he got out of that boat. He let go of everything so he could hold on to a word. Can I tell you that if you lose everything in life, if you have the word from God, if you have his word, you haven't lost. You could lose everything in life, but if you have a word from God, you have the most valuable thing you could possibly ever have, because that word will take you places and do things in and through you that you could happen no other way. So there will be some point in your faith journey, a time when you're going to have to choose, we'll call it the high road versus the low road. It's the supernatural over the natural. We can sit back and let the natural just take its natural place and its natural course, or we can step up into the supernatural and say, no, I got a word from God that says it ain't ending like this and I ain't going out like this. And so he's called us to live that way. And so if you choose the higher road, it means that you will have to let go of that which you are comfortable with and used to, and not many people are willing to do that. That's why I say all the time, man, I say it all the time, missionaries are my heroes. If there are any heroes on this earth, it's missionaries to me. People who will go to places that most of us will never go, and they'll leave everything behind to go and serve God in a place that's unfamiliar to them, and have to learn a language and have to deal with cultures of people that may not even appreciate them being there. And sometimes it takes years and years before they get any kind of fruit out of the work of their ministry. I was reading a newsletter just a couple days ago from one of our missionaries. You guys met them. They've been here a couple of times, but was reading their newsletter, and he said that it's amazing what God has done. He's opened up doors. When they went there, they didn't know the language. They didn't know the people. And here they are in the middle of Chad, Africa, a completely Muslim country. And now there are, I think he said, 4 or 5 schools now that are established where kids are learning how to read. These people never knew how to read. No one had ever taught them how to read, and they're learning how to read. Well, what's Rivers doing there, establishing schools and writing books and all that? Why is he doing this? So that they can learn how to read, so they can read the word. And because they're doing something good in the country, the officials are letting them do it, even though they're Christians. And it's an amazing thing. I mean, when I first heard that this young man and his family were going to Chad, Africa, I said, are you serious? I could hardly believe it. So what are you going to do? I don't know. Just know this is what God said to do. And they literally live in the middle of the desert, and they wear them things on their head and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's incredible to me. Those people are my heroes. I absolutely love why they have chosen to live above and beyond the norm. Now, we don't have to be a missionary to live like that, but even here, while we live, God calls us to live above and beyond the norm. And so if you choose that higher road, it means you're going to have to let go of some stuff. You know, once I started, me and Pastor Cindy started losing weight, man, I'm telling you, there were new shirts that I had in my closet that I didn't want to get rid of. I was like, man, I hadn't even got to wear that. And I had to start getting rid of them, a whole bunch of them. I used to get so excited when I could find a 2X because that, you know, that it fit me. And then I went from a 2X to a large. And when I put a 2X on now, it just hangs on me like, you know, it's just all frumpy, Cindy calls it. So she wouldn't let me wear them anymore. So I had to go through my closet and take that out. Well, I'm thinking, you know, if it was hard for me to just get rid of those shirts, how hard is it for somebody to get rid of literally their job, their house, all of these things to go serve in a foreign mission field somewhere? I mean, that just blows my mind. This lady that we're just new lady that we're taking on in her 60s in Papua New Guinea in the middle of a war zone, and she's over there sharing Jesus with people. I mean, that blows my mind. And so, again, you have to be willing to get rid of that which is comfortable, that which you're used to. The higher road means higher in the realm of faith. And so understand, it takes a certain measure of faith just to ride out the storm. And I really want to point that out. We can be kind of tough on them disciples that stayed in the boat, but it takes a certain amount of faith just to ride the storm out, just not to quit in the middle of the storm. I've seen a lot of people quit in life in the middle of the storm that was coming against them. It took a certain amount of faith just to not quit. And so they made it through the storm. And, you know, sometimes people are quick to criticize those disciples as being fearful and faithless. But, you know, maybe they forgot how it feels to be in a storm, people who are willing to criticize them. Maybe they forgot how much faith it took to stay in that boat and to keep praising and to keep trusting and to keep tithing and to keep sowing and to keep confessing when they couldn't see any relief in sight. Now, you understand, I'm not talking about an actual boat. And they couldn't see anything but the storm clouds and the rough waters. So no, I'm not going to condemn the ones that stayed in the boat, because to be honest with you, I probably would have wanted to stay in the boat too. In fact, I'd have just been begging God to get me out of all that mess. Where's the intercessors? We need to go find them intercessors so they can pray for us to get us out of this mess. Not get us through this mess, get us out of this mess. Right? I'm not going to condemn them at all. At least they made it through the storm. I've seen a lot of people in life not make it through the storm. They quit. They just quit. But they made it to the other side. That's what Jesus told them to do. Go to the other side. And so that by itself is something I believe to shout about. They made it through. Aren't you glad you made it through some storms that you made it through? You might have been barely hanging on and begging and screaming and praying and bargaining and everything else just to try to get through. But thank God you made it through. You're still here. You're here tonight. And so again, I believe that right there is something worth praising for. They made it. And they didn't feel like they were going to make it. In the middle of that, they didn't feel like they were going to make it. Anybody ever been in a situation where you really didn't know if you were going to make it out? I mean, I've been in those situations myself. And so many times, you know, you may be in a situation where people around you said, they're not going to make it. Again, I'll reference Pastor Holton. Most of you've heard this and know his testimony, but when he was 19 years old, the doctors told him, you're not going to live. No one with this disease you have has ever lived beyond 10 years after contracting this disease. And here he was preaching the gospel. And Brother Holton said, I had nobody to go to who understood the healing message. I had nobody. He said, all my preacher friends and the pastors that I knew and made connections with all would just cry and say, Brother Holton, you're going to die. We're so sorry you're going to die. With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? I mean, but they didn't know. They didn't have that revelation. They didn't understand this thing about healing. And so he got a word from God at 19 years old. He got a word from God. It stuck out to him. He said it like lit up in the Bible, and it stuck out to him. I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And so because he made that declaration in agreement with the word of God, he was supernaturally healed. Now, this was at 19. I talked to him today. He's in his 90s. I mean, that's amazing to me. People all around them said they wouldn't make it, but they're still here. I think some of y'all, that includes you. So we're not going to criticize these disciples. I only have one thing to say about those other disciples. And this isn't criticism, it's just simply this. They missed the opportunity to experience the supernatural and the impossible happening for themselves. See, I love to see somebody else have some kind of a supernatural event in their life. I love to see somebody else healed. I love to see somebody else receive a miracle. I love to see that. I don't mind doing that. But you know what? I don't want to just watch somebody else get a miracle. I don't want to just watch somebody else walk on the water. Man, I want to walk on that water too. But in order to do that, again, you got to leave everything that's comfortable. You got to leave everything that you know. And so they were brought to a place where they could choose a greater experience of the power of God. And I want to tell you, you and I are brought to that place pretty often. All of us are going to be, if you're not in it right now, it won't be long. You'll be in that place where it's going to be, I'm either going to go with the natural flow and just, you know, pray to God that I make it through, or else I can say, you know, this is an opportunity for a supernatural thing to happen in my life. I don't want to just make it through. I want to walk on the water in this situation. I don't want to just make it through. I don't want to just get to the other side and say, man, thank God I'm still alive. I want something supernatural to happen. And if we can see that when these things come against us, it's not that God's mad at us. It's not that, oh, I've just been a bad boy or a bad girl or whatever. No, it's an opportunity for God to show up and show off and show out in his great power. And he loves to do that through us. So again, it's not that they were bad. It's not that they were absolutely faithless, but they did miss an opportunity. I believe that all 12 of those disciples, had they wanted to, had they said, Jesus, I want to come meet you on that water, I believe he'd have told all 12 of them, come on. Anybody agree? And I believe all 12 of them would have walked on that water. And so again, they missed the opportunity to walk on the water. They missed the testimony of a water walker. Their testimony was this: we made it through the storm. We survived. We rode it out. It's like so many people said about, you know, Hurricane Laura and Delta and then Ida on the other side. I heard a lot of people say, man, we rode that thing out. Thank God. I'll never do it again, right? But here's a wonderful thing about something like that. Not only do you have to sometimes ride something like that out, and we all, in a sense, had to ride it out, because whether we were here or there, our homes were still here and everything we had was still here, right? But here's a good thing. I learned from Hurricane Rita that God could take that horrible thing and he can turn it around and he can bless you in an incredible way. The whole reason we have our house is because of Rita. God opened up an opportunity. It couldn't have happened any other way for us to get a home. Rita made that possible. Their testimony, again, it was a testimony of making it, but it could have been so much more. See, God didn't want you to just make it through the storm. He wants to bless you in a supernatural way through the storm. He wants to give you an incredible supernatural testimony. So when Peter began to testify, his testimony was different. The others had a testimony, but Peter's was different. Peter's the only one who could say, you know, when they were saying, "Hi, Peter, I saw you sinking out there. I saw what happened, boy. I saw you sink." He says, I sunk, but I also walked on the water. And I'm the only one in that boat that walked on the water. My testimony is a little bit different, right? I tell people I've only walked on the water one time, only once in my entire life. And it was on a frozen lake. He was in the boat with all the rest. He had to fear for his life, just like all the rest. But when Peter saw Jesus walking on that water, something on the inside of him said, you know what? You can do that too. If Jesus can do it, you can do it. Well, that sounds crazy. Because we have this idea that, well, you know, Jesus could do this stuff because he was Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, he says, in this world, you are as I am. In this world, if I did it, you can do it. That's what he said. In fact, not only will you do the things I've done, but you'll do it in a greater measure because you're not limited to one body. Well, do we believe that or not? Or do we think Jesus was just exaggerating? And I think that's what happens a lot of times is we think, well, Jesus was just kind of exaggerating a little bit when he said we could do these things. And so again, it wasn't that he wasn't human. He was certainly human. Peter was certainly human here, and he had to deal with fear just like everybody. But something on the inside of him said, you can do that. Something on the inside said, if the teacher can do it, then so can the students, because that's what teachers do. They teach students how to do what they're doing. All I need is a word from the master. Tell your neighbor, all you need is a word from the master. Now listen, we're not talking about just some harebrained idea out of your own imagination. I'm talking about a word from the master. When you have that, I'm telling you, you're unstoppable. There may be 1,000 voices telling you that you can't do what God told you to do. They may be telling you, you know, there's 1,000 reasons why you can't do it. Maybe they're telling you you're not smart enough. You're not old enough. You're too old. You're the wrong color, or you're from the wrong side of town, or you don't have enough money, or you know, you don't have what it takes. But if you have a word from God, you got what it takes. You can do the impossible if you have a word from God. Now, make sure it's a word from God. Now, I remember hearing specifically about a preacher many years ago, and I forget his name, and I wouldn't even tell you his name if I remembered, but it was a preacher that many, many years ago told the people, he said, look, if you'll be out here in such and such time, I forget what state or what lake he was on, he said, you be out here, I'm just going to believe by faith that I'm going to walk on water in front of these people. Whole bunch of people showed up. The preacher steps off into the water and goes under the water. You know why? God didn't tell him to do that. He just had some harebrained idea that was cooked up in his own mind, and he decided to act on it. Well, listen, if it doesn't come from God, if it doesn't come from his word, there's no power in that. You can stand and believe it. You can say in Jesus' name, you can do all that stuff, but it ain't going to work. But when you have a word from God, Matthew 9:23 tells us everything is possible for him who believes. Who believes what? What God has said. Peter had a word. What was that word? Very simple. Two words. Come on. Tell your neighbor again. Come on. That's all he had, but that's all he needed. And no doubt those disciples argued with him. I can only imagine, of course, in my natural state, if I was in that situation and one of my best friends is about to get on the water in that situation, I think I'm going to be probably holding on to his arm and say, man, are you crazy? You lost your mind? What are you doing? Right? Again, I'm talking about natural thinking. So those disciples had to argue with him and, you know, and tell him, man, you can't do this. This is impossible. They may have begged him to stay in that boat. And, you know, many people stay on the same faith level that they were on pretty much all their Christian life. But Peter had heard the call. He heard that call. He heard, come on. And when Jesus said, come on, everyone in that boat, again, had the same opportunity as Peter to walk on the water, yet Peter was the only one to do it. The circumstances were the same. Jesus was the same. The word was the same. The difference was, while some chose to hold on to the boat because that's what they felt comfortable and safe in, Peter chose to step out on the word. When Peter stepped out on that word, and again, I believe that it's the word that upheld him. I've said that before. It wasn't the water that upheld him. It was the word that Jesus spoke to him that upheld him. I believe that when he stepped out on a brand new anointing. I believe that when Peter stepped out on that word, he stepped out. There was a something new that came to his life in that moment. He stepped into a supernatural water-walking anointing. And he began to move, and he began to walk and operate in the same realm, at least for that time, and the same anointing that Jesus himself was functioning in. Now, let me make a point here. Jesus didn't force Peter to get out of that boat. Jesus doesn't force any of us to get out of the boat. Jesus didn't condemn the other disciples for not walking on the water either. He didn't do that. He created an avenue for them to step from one realm of anointing to another. And here's the point. Many people will come to Christ. They'll live their life. They may go to church every single time the doors are open. They may read their Bible. They may spend some time praying. They may do some things. But yet, when the opportunity to walk on water, and when I say walk on water, it means do the impossible. When that opportunity arises, many people pass it by because they listen to the voices that disqualify them. And so again, Jesus didn't condemn those other disciples. But Peter got to experience something they never experienced. I have pastor friends of mine that are very good friends. I consider them good friends, but they've never seen one miracle, not even one. They've never seen one person supernaturally healed, not even one. They're winning people to Jesus. You know, they're preaching the gospel. They're getting people saved, but they're staying in the boat. And I just believe that God gives us an opportunity. We don't have to get out of the boat, but I believe he gives us the opportunity. And for those who will do it, you're going to experience something you've never experienced before. And you're going to experience something that most people never experience. When I got to Bible college, in fact, Pastor Holton and I were talking about this because when his son David went to Bible college, it was the same kind of situation. Wonderful Bible college. They believed in the Holy Spirit. They believed in the gifts of the Spirit, so on and so forth. But most of them had never seen a healing. 98% of those students there, when I was in college, I would tell them testimonies of things I saw in a church service, a normal Sunday church service. And they would look at me like I was nuts. They didn't believe me. They'd say, "That really happened. Are you sure? You sure that wasn't just, you know, your mind playing tricks?" I'd say, "No, man. I saw it happen. I saw growths disappear. I saw a person's leg grow out. I saw people who was all crippled up and crooked straighten up. I saw kids' eyes cross straighten up. I saw these things. I saw people that had a death penalty on them, according to the doctors, be raised up and perfectly healed. I saw these things before my very eyes." And so it kind of whet my appetite. There's no way I could never be part of a church where the supernatural's not expected, where the healing virtue of God doesn't flow. I could never be a part of that. So Jesus simply came to them in a way that presented an opportunity to let them move to another level of faith. And if you can see the next storm that comes into your life, ask the Lord to show you. "Lord, what is it? How do I come on it? How do I come to you? Tell me to come on. I'm not even sure what it is you want me to do. But Lord, I know this. I don't want to just float through another storm and just barely survive and get to the other side. Lord, I want to experience the supernatural in the midst of this." Tell your neighbor, the storm is coming. It's coming. You might as well get a supernatural experience out of it. So he called them to a higher experience and a higher manifestation of his power in their lives. But only one took that step. And that step separated Peter from the rest of the disciples. That step drew a line between the doers and the watchers. That's why I've said probably, at least 100 times in here, don't be a spectator, be a participator. That's why God told me to stop laying hands on people in services. I may from time to time do that, you know, as the Lord leads, but to stop laying hands, equip the people, empower the people to do it. And so again, the Lord said, no, the people have to be equipped. They need to stop looking to the preacher like that. That's the person that's anointed to do this. We've all been called and anointed to do this. So I would rather experience one day, 1 hour, 1 minute walking on the water than a lifetime of sitting in the boat. Brother Holton told me that today. He said, "Yep." He said, "I've always heard one miracle will affect your life more than 1,000 sermons." I told him, I said, "You know, Brother Holton, you're a wonderful teacher, and I know you've taught a lot of things, and I caught a lot of things in my spirit that you taught over the years. I know it, and I preach it, and so on, but I don't necessarily remember the sermons. But I'm telling you, I remember the miracles. They marked my life." So I believe that there's a new stirring in the Spirit. I believe the Spirit is calling. He's saying, "Come on, come up higher." In other words, he wants us to really come into the reality of the power that he has made available to us. I really believe that. I believe especially in this time, especially when the entire world is scared to death of a disease. And most people, even Christians, have given more authority to COVID than to Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean it's not real. We know it's real. Probably almost everybody in this room has had it. We know it's real, right? But the thing is, we're not going to bow in fear to the thing. Not going to let that spirit overtake us. So he wants us to really come to the reality of the power that he has made available to us. And it is this incredible, amazing, mind-boggling power. And understand this, the devil, listen to me, the devil only wishes he had the power of just one believer. We have this idea that the devil's so powerful and he's so strong, and he is powerful and he is strong. For those who get out from under the covering of God, he'll destroy you. But he only wishes he had the power of one believer. One. I'm telling you, once I learned the power of the name of Jesus, I used to be tormented by demons, tormented when I was a little kid, till I understood the power of the name of Jesus. Man, once I understood the power of the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, I didn't have a problem at all rebuking some devil and telling it where to go. And I had to learn that. I had to do it. But man, once I realized the power of the name of Jesus, that they have to listen. They don't have a choice. They have to. It's mind-boggling. Tell your neighbor, you can choose to live on the lower plane if you want to, but your spirit will never be satisfied. You know why your spirit will never be satisfied? It will not be satisfied because your spirit, the real you, the inside, the spirit man, the real you, was designed to operate on a higher plane where the glory of God resides. Some of you hearing this message right now, you're in a place where maybe you can't figure it out. Maybe at this point, nothing satisfies you. You know, I've met so many people over the years that chase this and chase that and, just trying to find something to bring some kind of satisfaction. They live their life like Mick Jagger, right? I can't get no satisfaction. I mean, and they chase this and they chase that. And of course, if I could only get a different job or if I could only make more money, and they may go to church or whatever and still feel like something is missing. God intended for you to operate in His glory outside of that which is natural. And when that's not happening, you're going to always have something missing. So you might leave church thinking, man, I went to church thinking they're going to have something for me to fix this. They're going to say something. They're going to do something. The praise and worship team, man, they're going to do just the right songs. And then you might leave feeling a little disappointed, still feeling like something's missing. And you may blame it on the pastor. You may blame it on the praise and worship team, or you may blame it on something else. But the truth is, it's nobody's fault. A different job and a different church or more money or any of those things, none of those things are going to fix it. Why? The problem is Jesus is saying, come on, and you hadn't come on yet. But your flesh is trying to hold you in captivity. But understand this, it is the anointing that's calling you. It's the anointing that's pulling you. And of course, you're going to be uncomfortable. Can I tell you, I used to pray comfort for people all the time. I'd pray for the church, and I'd say, God, I just pray, just comfort them, just Lord, I don't want anybody to suffer. I don't want anybody. Lord, just pour your comfort on them. And I don't pray that anymore. I'm too old for that now. I say, God, make them uncomfortable. Make it till they do something for you. Lord, don't let anybody come here and be comfortable and just sit in the seats and just go to church and be just church folk. Lord, make them uncomfortable. Make them miserable till they do something for you. Is that okay? Say amen if you agree with that. Woo, be careful what you agree with. Be careful. Now y'all going to be mad at me, all right? Because you're feeling miserable. It's the anointing pulling at you. It's that same anointing that pulled Peter out of that boat. It's that same word that called Peter to the life of the supernatural. And, you know, you can talk about Peter and the fact that he started to sink and all that like many times we have, but I prefer to talk about the fact that Peter walked on the water and Peter cast out devils and Peter healed the sick and raised the dead. And in the book of Acts, it even talked about there was such a powerful anointing upon him that when he'd walk by, people just tried to get in his shadow. If I just get in his shadow, I'll be healed. I mean, that's amazing to me. That is incredible to me. I prefer to look at what God did in his life after that. He preached the first message after the baptism, the Holy Spirit fell, and in one message, 3,000 people were added to the church. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I want to talk about the man who let go of everything to take hold of one word from God. As I said earlier, you and I may never jump out of a literal boat like Peter did and walk on literal water, but at some point in your faith journey, God is going to give you the opportunity to launch out into the supernatural. We don't have time for it, but I'm telling you, I could share testimony after testimony after testimony how God, when we came to the end, naturally speaking, came to the end of certain situations in our life that it looked like we couldn't get through, God would supernaturally make a way. But we had to believe Him, we had to trust Him, and then we had to take the step He told us to take over and over and over again. I've seen that happen. That doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just simply means that I was willing to say, God, I know you're gonna move supernaturally in this situation. So at some point in your faith journey, you're going to hear God say, come on. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And it's going to be an impossible thing that he's telling you to do. And some people are going to criticize you. Some people are going to make fun of you. They're going to forecast your failure. They're going to anticipate your demise. But at some point, you have to make a choice. Are you going to live by what man created and let that be your source? Things like the job, the position, the reputation, the, you know, whatever, our culture. Or are you going to live by who created man? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, in other words, God's word, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Think about that. By faith we understand that, but think about the power of his word. And when we get a word from God and we begin to speak forth that word from God, I'm telling you, it's the greatest power in the universe. So just maybe tonight, maybe somebody's getting close to getting out of the boat. Just maybe tonight somebody's making a decision to go higher, to walk by faith and not by sight. Maybe tonight somebody here is facing an impossible situation even right now, and you're choosing to walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, I'm going to walk based on your word. Because remember, faith has to be found in God's word. It's got to be based on his word. But if you have a word from God, and if you don't have a word from God for your situation, you need to go get you one of them. Tell your neighbor, you need to go get one of them. You need to get a word from God. But when you have a word from God, I'm telling you, you have something that you can hold on to. God literally formed the universe out of nothing from a word. And then he gives us the authority to speak his word. So just maybe tonight somebody's getting out of that boat. Maybe tonight somebody's getting a hold of a word. Maybe tonight somebody's hearing in your spirit, come on. It's not just the person I told to say it to you, but you're hearing the Holy Spirit say, come on. He's inviting you to take hold of his power and his wisdom and his ability. And I believe there's a call going out, not just to this church, this local church. I believe there's a call going out to the body of Christ in the spirit right now. I believe that there's a call going out for men and women to let go of the safe life and to step into the faith life. I believe that. And just like Peter, Jesus would not have called you if he couldn't hold you up. You know, there's been lots of times I was like Peter, where I was going under and Lord, save me. Lots of times. Not that exact scenario, but when God, you know, I'm obeying you. I'm doing what you said to do, but this ain't going the way I thought it was going to go. But he's there and he'll save you. And by the way, one of the keys of him saving you is you got to stop fighting for your own life and let him save you. Stop trying to do it yourself and let him save you. Amen. I've told the story before of Watchman Nee, the great Chinese pastor who stood on the bank while a guy is drowning, and he's an expert swimmer. And this guy's drowning and everybody around him saying, why don't you jump in and get him? Because, you know, you're an excellent swimmer. Jump in and get him. And he just stood there. He didn't say anything. The guy's flashing, you know, flailing and everything else and just trying to save himself. And Watchman Nee said, after the guy finally quit all that and was about to sink, he dove in, he grabbed the guy, and he drug him back to the shore. And they asked him, why did you wait so long? Why did you let this guy suffer like this? He said, if I'd have jumped in there while he was fighting for his life, the first thing he'd have done is pulled me under the water and refused to let go. He'd have drowned me. He said, I had to let him stop fighting. Then I could save him. Man, God, it's the same way with the Lord. As long as we're trying to do it ourselves, there's nothing he can do. So just like Peter, Jesus would not have called you if he couldn't hold you up. When Jesus says, come on, everything you need to accomplish the work is contained in that word. So I want you to say it one more time. Say to your neighbor, come on. Now say it to yourself. Come on. Come on. Next time you get into a situation that seems impossible, just remember those two words. Remember, Jesus said it. Tell yourself, come on. Come on. Now, don't say it the wrong way. A lot of times we say that, it's like, oh, come on, right? Say it the right way. Jesus calling you, come on, here's an opportunity for the supernatural. Amen? Now tell somebody this, and we're going to end it with this, but tell them, the next time I see you struggling, go ahead and tell them. I'm going to remind you of those two words. Now ask them this, the next time you see me struggling, remind me of those two words. Father, we thank you again. We thank you tonight for your word. We thank you. Your word brings life to us. But Lord, we don't want to walk into this place and out of this place the same way we came in. Father, I thank you that tonight, Lord God, as you're calling us, as you're speaking to us, Lord, these are people that showed up on a Wednesday night when so many others don't even bother. I pray, Father God, meet them right where they are. And in that impossible situation that they're facing either now or that they're going to face in the future, I pray, remind them of your word. Lord, give them a word to get through. Give them a word to stand on. Father, as they search through the scriptures, as they spend time in your presence, I pray, speak to them. And I pray you would help us open our ears to hear clearly what you're saying. I pray, shut down every other voice, Father. Give us discernment, the discerning of spirits, God, that we might discern what is your voice and that which is the voice of the enemy and even the voice of our own mind. I pray, Father, speak clearly to us. We know you'll never tell us to do anything that is opposite of what your word already speaks. But I pray, make it alive to us. Give us that rhema word that we can stand on and that we can speak out. Lord, that we might walk in the supernatural. I thank you, Father. You've made that desire known to us, and we want to meet you there. Thank you, Jesus, that you don't leave us by ourselves, but you're always there to pick us up. Now, Lord, I speak health, healing, wholeness over every person in this room. I don't know whatever situations they might be dealing with, but we come into agreement with your word tonight. We speak to every system of the body, and we release healing virtue to flow from the head to the feet and everything in between. Father, I thank you. You're concerned about the hair on our head. You're concerned about our toenails. I pray, Father, that it would be healthy. Why not, Father? We just thank you for that. We release that word to go out to this people, to this congregation, God, that we walk, Lord, in your health, in your strength. And Father, I thank you for correcting things, Lord. I thank you for correcting chemicals in the brain. I thank you for correcting organs, Father, that have been damaged from various things. I thank you, Father, for correcting it by your word. In Jesus' name, we release that healing virtue now. In Jesus' name, the name above every other name, the name that causes demons to bow. Thank you for it. We command every oppressive demonic spirit to be silent. We command every oppressive demonic spirit to turn loose of their grasp of God's people. In Jesus' name, we resist you.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.